Our lesson this morning is out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to chapter 3, verse 9, responding to satanically influenced people in the ministry. The messenger of God's word plays a key role in a local church, so he's a target for satanic opposition. That opposition can come in various ways, but a particularly difficult way for God's messenger is Satan's use of people whom he controls to oppose God's messenger in his ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to chapter 3, verse 9 directs God's messenger on responding to such kinds of people, and we view it for our insight. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word. Lord, we're grateful for the privilege that you grant us to fellowship around the word of God. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God, who is the author of Scripture, who superintended men of God, carried them along as they were writing Scripture so that what they wrote was precisely what you wanted them to write. And the Spirit of God illuminates the Word of God to us so we understand it. Then he actually equips us to obey the Word as we rely on him. We ask, Father, for wisdom to understand the Word this morning, and then to rely on the Spirit of God to use it and to apply it in this important and very critical section of Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I want to read the passage and then we will look at it in depth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to chapter 3, verse 9. And the servant of the Lord must not argue, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness instructing those that oppose them, if perhaps God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This know also, that in the last days perilous or hard or terrible times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and holy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall become manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Okay, as explained in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, Paul's instructions to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26 deals with Timothy's need to handle opposition he faced in his ministry from people who were taken captive by Satan to do Satan's will. So people who are taken captive by Satan to do his will and can be identified as sometimes trying to argue with God's messenger to oppose his teaching or his ministry functions in some way. You'll notice throughout this, I didn't say pastor, I said messenger. This is anyone who is bringing the word in a church. Could be the pastor, yes. Could be a teacher in a Sunday school class. It could be in a men's or a ladies' Bible class that's under the church auspices and so forth. Could be a VBS, a teacher. I've had feedback from people in all of those realms who have faced this type of challenge. So this is broader than just pastor. Anyone who's a messenger in the church. Well, people who are taken captive by Satan to do his will can be identified as sometimes trying to argue with God's messenger to oppose his teaching or his ministry functions in some way. Paul's call that God's servant not strive, that's what the King James Version says in verse 24a, translates the Greek word makomai, and it means to fight, to quarrel, or dispute. And then the King James Version, those that oppose themselves, translates the Greek word antidiatithemi, which is here in the middle voice, antidiatethemenos, and ous. And in the middle voice, it means to be opposed. So Satan, or satanically influenced people in one's ministry, are people who can actually be true believers, as in Peter's case in Matthew 16, 21, and 23, who may oppose God's messenger by disputing or arguing with him. Let me get that situation with, this is a classic situation where Satan used even someone like Peter. In Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to start actually verse 13, because this is what sets it up. In Matthew 6:13, Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you're John the Baptizer, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto him, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Messiah," that's what Christ means, "the Son of the living God," which is a remarkable confession to make as a Jew. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this Petra," in other words, thou art Petros, "but upon this Petra," and he's saying, your name is Peter, which is a small stone, but I'm talking about this rock being myself, "I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The tenses are very important, verse 19. It actually says, "And whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall already have been bound permanently in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall already have been loosed in heaven." All Peter is doing is reflecting the decisions of heaven. He's not setting it like the Catholic Church says. So the Catholic Church has misinterpreted the tenses here. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, Peter has just made this tremendous confession of faith, and Jesus has complimented him. So what's happened? He's now a little bit proud. Now, notice what happens. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter, this is the great man who made this tremendous confession of faith, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Wow. He's rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's a little stuck up, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not happen to you." Now, Peter's motive was probably good. Peter was saying, "No, I can't see this happening to my Savior." But he's rebuking Jesus. Notice what Jesus says, verse 23. But he, that's Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Satan did not want Jesus to go to the cross, because on the cross, Jesus destroyed the power of Satan. We know this from Colossians chapter 2 and 3. And he knew it. He saw it was coming. And so he was working through Peter to get him to try to discourage him from going to the cross. When Satan tempted Jesus in the temptation, he said, "Look, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. All you have to do is just bow down one little time to me. That's it. You won't have to go to the cross." See, Satan was trying to keep Jesus from the cross. And the Father says, "No, I want you to go to the cross, because that way you're going to destroy the works of the devil. And you're going to open up salvation for men to be saved from the kingdom of Satan." So this is a classic situation, how they oppose God's messenger by disputing or arguing with him. The people who often do this are not at all aware that they've been taken. If they realized that they were under the control of Satan, they wouldn't do this. That's why they do it. They're deceived, and Satan's got a control of them because of their lusts and whatnot. So God's servant is thus lured to react to this opposition by hotly arguing in return, what makes him dishonor himself before onlookers and hurt his ministry. I'll tell you what, if you ever get in a heated argument, and especially as you're a pastor, you can undermine your credibility like that. You've got to be very controlled, so you've got to watch it. So a different response is needed to a person who's under Satan's influence. God's servant, and this is verses 24 to 26, God's servant must not argue, makomai, with one who opposes him, but rather, and the word but here is a very strong adversative. There's a strong and then there's a weak adversative in the Greek language. Alon means but rather. But instead, rather, be kind or gentle. It's the Greek word epios, toward all. Skillful in teaching, didaktikos. Bearing evil without resentment, anexikakos. This is one of the most difficult, but one of the most necessary characteristics if you're involved in teaching in any way. When you get opposed like this, you have to be willing to bear evil and not be resentful. Because if that resentfulness shows up, you can discredit yourself. And then in gentleness or humility or meekness, proutes, correcting or instruction, paiduo is that we get the word pediatrics from, or it's a derivative of that. Paiduo means to child rear. But you do this by correcting or instructing those who counter him. So you have to get up there and gently say, no, this is what God wants us to do. Such a careful, a measured, a self-controlled, a considerate way of responding to an opponent is necessary, not only because the opponent to God's servant is controlled by Satan, who is trying to discredit God's messenger by luring him to lose his temper, but since the opponent himself is in jeopardy of God's punishment for what he is doing to God's messenger. This opponent needs the opportunity to come to his senses and acknowledge the truth, to escape Satan's control and avoid God's discipline. So I, in verse 25, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him to do his will. And in verse 25, how do they do that? God perhaps will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth, recovering themselves out of the snare of the devil. I had an experience one time where there was a woman who called me up. She was opposed. She told me, you're not preaching the word, you're not expounding the word, you're not feeding the flock of God. And I said, okay, that's a serious charge, so I want you to give me scripture as to proof behind your claim that I'm not teaching the flock of God. Because it's your opinion, it might be my opinion, someday I've got to stand before Jesus Christ and I have to give an account to him, so the only opinion that works here is God's opinion. So can you get the scripture? And she said, sure. So, well, a couple of days later she called and she said, I owe you an apology. She couldn't find the scripture. And she said, and I'll never forget this, she said, sometimes I think you can be used by the devil and not even know it. And I said, you're right. You're right. And so we put a period and we moved on. And she learned from that, make sure you've got scripture. If you're going to critique someone who's ministering the word of God, make sure you've got scripture behind it. If you don't have scripture behind it, it's your word versus, see? So we got to be real, real careful. And I love it where Paul says, yea, I don't even judge myself. You can't evaluate yourself, even if you're a messenger of the Lord. You've got to rely on the Lord, and you have to rely upon God to, if you're doing something dreadfully wrong, God's got to make it very clear to you through his word. But follow the scriptures. Now, remember, there are no chapter breaks in the original epistles, so chapter 3, verse 1 follows right on the heels of chapter 2, verse 26. Unfortunately, they made a chapter break here. They shouldn't have, though. However, in the last days, and that would be between Paul and Christ's return, that's a broad statement, Paul wrote that hard, and you have a Greek word, chalepos, times would come. And chalepos appears elsewhere in the New Testament only in Matthew 8:28, and it describes the hard-to-handle demoniac. So, in this context of 2 Timothy 2:24 to 3:9, 2 Timothy 3:2-5, especially English Standard Version, gives more descriptions of satanically influenced people that God's servants would face. So these are more characteristics, and Paul's continuing the same conversation that he had before, because he signaled that by the word chalepos, which apparently was a common word that was used in reference to people who were either demonically or satanically controlled, and you couldn't really deal with them. These are their characteristics. Namely, lovers of self. Another way to put lovers of self is self-centered. Boy, do we have that today. The world is full of that. Self-centered people. Then lovers of money. We've got a lot of that in our world as well. Proud or boastful. Proud or arrogant. Abusive. We've got a lot of abusiveness. Disobedient to their parents. And along with that, we can say insubordination to authority. There's a lot of insubordination to authority because people learn to be insubordinate to police because they're not subordinate to their parents. They don't mind their parents. In fact, this is one of the Proverbs says, you better take care of disciplining your child here or the king's going to get after your child with a sword someday. So we need to be aware of that. Disobedience to parents or insubordination to authority. Ungrateful. Unholy. Unholy means unseparate, not separate from sin. Heartless. Another expression is lacking normal affection to other people. Unappeasable or irreconcilable. You try to get along with them, you try to make peace, and you cannot get them to bury the war hatchet. Slanderous, without self-controlled, brutal or untamed. Not loving good or not loving the good. Treacherous, another translation for treacherous would be traitors. Reckless, swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And having the appearance or the outward form of godliness, but denying its power. In other words, there's a false spirituality. Regarding such folk, God's servant is to avoid them. Now, the Greek verb is apotrepu, which is the middle voice of apotrepo, turn away from, avoid. And we don't have a middle voice in English. In English, we have an active voice where the subject does the acting. We have a passive voice where the subject is acted upon. The middle voice is in between that. The subject is doing the action, but he's doing it upon himself. He's doing it for his own benefit. That's what the middle voice is in the Greek language. So, the middle voice means one must pull back as far as necessary to guard oneself from sinning or being spiritually harmed by these types of people. It's unfortunate, but it is a fact that sometimes, because it's impossible to relate to these people without getting either burned or getting sucked in, you have to pull back. Now, the pulling back, it doesn't tell us how far, but sometimes you have to pull back quite far, sometimes not so far. I've been with people, there are certain people that I have found that I can only be with them when we're around other people because that has a tendency to modify their behavior. If they come to me alone, look out. Well, you know, Haiti barred the door. So, and I've... In counseling with other people, I directed people, they say there are some relatives they have. When they're alone with them, relatives will just chew them up. The best thing to do is stay around with all the relatives all at once, and then they're more limited in what they can do. But the point is pull yourself back as far as you can, or as far as necessary. These folk typically control weak people burdened by sins and led about by various lusts who always learn but never grasp the truth. Folk who are disqualified by God as to teaching the faith. It's fascinating here in verse 6 where Paul says, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive control. There's a lot of this in the society today where someone in the family will seek to control other people and dominate and try to make them think what they want them to think. It's actually a form of abuse, but that's what these people do. So, if there is a controller, watch out. Be very, very careful, especially if it's a person who's going to try to control you as to what you believe or what you do or what you function. Nevertheless, the sin of these folk in time would become evident to all, discrediting them before others. Paul here talks about verses 8 and 9 about Jannes and Jambres. These were names that were in the Jewish Apocrypha that were given to the magicians. Remember the magicians of Pharaoh who were able to duplicate Moses' miracles up to a point. But when it got to, I think it was the lice or the, I think it was the lice or the gnats. Anyway, it got to one of those, and God stopped allowing them to duplicate the miracles. And they went to Pharaoh and said, wait a minute, this is the hand of God. We don't have any power to do this. And by then, Pharaoh was so hard, he just ignored them. But these men opposed Moses by trying to discredit Moses by copying his miracle. So, you know, that was a difficult thing to handle. But Moses just obeyed the Lord and left the results with God. So that's the type of people you have to watch out for. But, verse 9, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall become manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. One of the characteristics of sin is that eventually it surfaces, its evil surfaces, and becomes blatantly obvious to everybody. Can I give you an illustration? This whole issue of the Roe versus Wade decision, 1973 of the Supreme Court, where they say, well, you know, a woman can get an abortion. Well, those who are promoting abortion have pushed so hard that they've actually recommended, and maybe in one state, I think it was Delaware, maybe they've passed that even after the woman has given birth, they can let the baby die or kill the baby. Now, that is something that is becoming very apparent, even to unsaved people who say, wait a minute, that's wrong. You can't do that. That's a live person. But what it's doing is revealing the evil of abortion on demand. You just, you know, where are you going to draw the line? The first trimester, it's a human being. Second, third trimester, after the baby's born, it's killing a human being. It's killing a human being. So that's one of the things Paul says, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, just as theirs was. So the lesson is, satanically influenced people who oppose God's servants are controlled by a powerful, brilliant Satan, who uses them to oppose God's servants so as to get them, that's the servants of God, to sin and sabotage their ministries, hurting the local church. See, what Satan is really trying to do is hurt the local church. If he can trip up the messenger, he can get the messenger to discredit himself. So then, you know, now the church doesn't have the messenger. Now what are we going to do? And I've seen this situation played out a number of times, especially in the state of Connecticut, where churches have actually dismantled because there was such an uprising, or there was such a breakdown in trust because of this type of thing. So it's extremely important that we be very careful if we are a servant of God. So satanically influenced people who oppose God's servants are controlled by a powerful, brilliant Satan who uses them to oppose God's servants so as to get them to sin and sabotage their ministries, and that hurts the local church. So, God's servants must be gentle, but biblical and careful in facing such people, giving room for God to work in it all. So, in facing satanically influenced people in the ministry, may we use biblical discernment and care. I've been a pastor now for over 44 years, and I would have to say some of the most difficult challenges I have had have come from people who are co-workers in ministry. Sometimes it's a missionary, sometimes it's another pastor who will oppose you in this way. People who have influence, and Satan somehow gets a hold of that, and you have to be extremely careful, extremely guarded, because anything you say or do can be broadcast through this other person around the country. And I've been in situations where I was taken out to lunch by a man who was influential. And in the middle of the lunch, all of a sudden he sort of started to light in on me on my ministry. I could have answered him because I had challenged this with what he was doing, but he had so much influence I felt I couldn't speak. He had brought me there, so I didn't have my own car. I couldn't just walk out. So I just had to stomach it, be quiet. And after a while, he realized that I wasn't answering him, so he tried to goad me to answer him. And I just didn't. I just said, well, it's your opinion, and go on like that. But it got to the point where I refused, and he kept trying to meet with me after that, and I refused. I couldn't, because it was really, really a problem. That was one of the most difficult situations we had to face. I find that what Satan tries to do, he tries to get you off track so that you stop ministering the word. Satan can't battle the word of God because the word of God is alive and powerful. It carries God's power. So if you're ministering the word of God, look out. Satan is going to do everything he can to attack you humanly so that you'll stop ministering or stop ministering it correctly. And you have to keep an eye. If you keep your eye on that fact, focus on that, then whatever comes down the road, you can deal with it. And you can rely upon the Lord for victory in it. Okay, this is an interesting lesson. But we will turn it open now to you if you have some questions or feedback. It could be on this subject. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up during the week and you want to address it, feel free to bring that up. And